Check. I declare the meeting open about 6:30. We acknowledge the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land, pay our respects to their elders past and present. I let everyone know that the meeting is recorded for sound and the recording will be available on the City of Marion website. I ask elected members if they foresee any items where they might have a conflict of interest. Go around the table. Councillor Telfer has already signalled there might be an item in the annual business plan.
Westminster licence on the neighbour, and also during the annual business plan, if the Canton Avenue Reserve could be pulled out, I'll leave for that because I again am a neighbour.
I'll just ask staff to remind me of that when we get to the item. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. I'll also be leaving for the Westminster licensing application as it could involve my employer.
Councillor Gard.
Like Councillor Telfer, on the Westminster licensing matter, I do have a friend who is one of the senior teachers there. I don't see him often these days, but just would be better perhaps to bow out of that one.
Yes, up to you. Any others? Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, I know a member of the staff of the Marion Golf Club, so relatively good friends, so I might step up for that one too.
Right. Might be a perceived conflict of interest, okay. Any others? Fair enough, we'll just keep going. Someone like to move confirmation of the minutes of the last General Council meeting? Let's move Councillor Crossland, seconded Councillor Byram. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. We traditionally have verbal communications at the second meeting of the month. There is no second meeting of the month, but by unpopular demand, it has cropped up on the agenda somehow. Would anyone like to make a verbal report? Then I'll move on. Deputations, we have the Red House group represented by the Chief Executive and the Chair of the Board, I believe. So it's time for you to come forward, please, to the front, and we invite you to speak to us for 5 minutes about the Red House. So I welcome Julie Pritchard and Ines Petriti. Sorry, Julie, you're the Gallery M manager, not Chief Executive, but much the same thing. When you speak, just press the button to get a green light, and when you finish speaking, we'll just make sure that goes off, and that will give you amplification. See? Okay. Julie's a support person, so Ines, I will introduce you by saying what a great, not only a great feature of the economy in our region is Petriti Wines, but I know from first-hand experience at so many community events just what a very solid, long-standing supporter of the community Petriti Wines has been. So I do commend you for that. And tonight you're here as Chair of the Red House Board, and welcome you to address us for 5 minutes. Thank you.
Petriti, Managing Director of Petriti Wines, and we're a local family-owned winery and manufacturing facility located in Dover Gardens for over 90 years. Our company believes in community relationships, and we have been involved with the Red House Group since its inception as sponsors of exhibition openings. Thank you for the opportunity to provide some information about the Red House Group and a strong connection with the City of Marion built over the past 27 years. In the early 1990s, artists joined with the City of Marion to develop the gallery space that became known as the Red House Gallery, situated in the old red brick bungalow adjacent to the council admin, which now you know as the Marion Heritage Research Centre. The artists incorporated as the Red House Group in 1994 and operated the Red House Gallery for 7 years as a City of Marion cultural development project with financial and administrative support from Council. The Red House Board has had close involvement and support from both councillors and mayors over this time. When the Marion Cultural Centre was built in 2001, the City of Marion invited the Red House Group to manage Gallery M on their behalf. Much consultation took place at that time with a view to have the Cultural Centre provide a vibrant community hub that included the operations of the library, gallery, theatre and cafe. At Gallery M, the Red House Group has provided a cost-efficient management service to Council and developed it to be a highly valued and well-recognised visual arts venue, not just locally, but nationally and internationally. Gallery M plays a vital role in supporting and educating many creative people in our community. It offers established and emerging artists, young people, hobby artists and community groups the opportunity to show their work. Gallery M has brought high-profile exhibitions such as the Blake Prize for Religious Art and the Pro Heart Retrospective to Adelaide, and also hosts City of Marion events such as the annual community exhibition for residents, as well as shows commemorating issues of local historical and Indigenous significance. When Red House Group members have exhibitions in Gallery M, the cost of using the gallery is met by members paying an entry fee, in the same way an outside artist or group would do. The modest membership fees of the Red House Group financially support the Gallery M operation through purchasing much needed gallery equipment. The fees already assist in covering the operating shortfall in the Gallery M income. In addition, the Red House member account pays an administration fee that includes any member-related expenses, such as postage, stationery, staffing time, etc., pays back to Gallery M operations on a quarterly basis. No council funds are spent on any member activities. The Red House Group is providing gallery management services to the City of Marion in a cost-effective manner and at a high professional standard. The business name Gallery M is owned and registered by the City of Marion. We need to ensure that this high standard can be maintained at its current level. Over the past years, Gallery M has always supported the Marion Cultural Centre when other events such as markets, shows and performances are enhanced by having the gallery open. This impacts on wages as the hours allocated to the dedicated team of casual staff working over 7 days only equates to the full-time equivalent of 1.87 staff. Many unpaid hours are given by staff and volunteers. Gallery M is proudly showcased to visiting dignitaries and guests as a fine example of City of Marion's ongoing commitment to arts and culture, such as when the Governor, His Excellency the Honourable Hugh Van Ley, visited last year. The Council should be commended in developing this unique relationship with the Red House Group and in support of artists within Marion and the wider arts community. Gallery M provides an important balance to other community-supported activities, such as sporting facilities, community centres and libraries. As a local business owner, and certainly personally, I'm very proud to be associated with the Red House Group, especially the staff who manage the gallery in such a professional manner. I've seen firsthand that the gallery is well run and great value for the investment made by the City of Marion. It's a great community space, open 7 days a week to add to the continued vibrancy of the Marion Cultural Centre, run by people with a passion for the arts, but well versed in running a small business, who give more than they are paid for, which is most unusual in the real world. Thank you.
Thank you, Innes, and just about perfect timing with the 5 minutes. Now, what we're about to do is actually address the item concerning the Red House agreement. It's been marked as confidential because it relates to the finances, etc., of the operation, and at least some people thought that it might be more appropriate to deal with that commercial information behind closed doors. The appendix, rather, is the confidential part with the financial stuff. But given that members might have questions and you're out the front, I think we'll bend the rules a bit to allow members any questions now while Ms. Pritchard and Ms. Petridi are here. Strictly fact-finding questions, and then we'll get on with the item in the usual way. Councillor Blescu?
I'm just wondering, if people have questions in regards to the appendix, then that's confidential. Do we actually need to have the appendix confidential? We've never had it as confidential before.
I'm not going to address that procedural point now. If people want to address a confidential matter, then we'll address it later. If people have any other questions, then here's an opportunity to ask them. Councillor Hull?
My question is along the same lines as Councillor Blescu. Now, Councillor Blescu and myself are council representatives.
All right, I'll hold you there because that's not a fact-finding question. So thank you, Ms. Petridi and Ms. Pritchard. I'd invite you to take your place.
I never got
back
to
in
the question. But
well, it's clearly not a question to find out facts, so just hold it there for a sec. We'll get on to the item of business. Thank you for coming in addressing us. That was informative. If you would take your place in the gallery and we'll proceed with the next item of business. So would somebody like to move accordingly? Councillor Valescu.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to inquire as to whether why we're looking at a 3-year management agreement as opposed to a 4-year management agreement before I move the motion. That was Councillor Byram asked me, so I'm just
asking
the question.
I'd invite one of the managers to address that, Ms. Dixon.
Through the Chair, my understanding it's been a 3-year agreement in the past and we're just following that process.
I will move the motion as is. I've seen firsthand how well this group manage the gallery. It adds to one of the, I guess, the variety of things that the council is supporting. The council purpose built a gallery in conjunction and consultation with the members of the Red House group. I don't think you get a gallery managed in the same way. You've got people that are passionate about the arts in that area. They're very diligent. They provide their own time, are well respected within the arts community. We've got a real gem here, and if you look at some of the other things that outside organisations have run for us, such as, you know, we've had previous things happening at Marion Leisure and Fitness, those arrangements don't always work out, and this one has, and we're getting great value for money, and it adds to the vibrancy of the area. You know, people may think, well, why are they open 7 days? Believe me, there's no idle time when they're in there. There's always work to be done. And the thing is, this organisation does a lot of the backroom stuff, so it's not just the retail, it's the organisation, governance. There's been an increase in governance requirement, and this group's been able to evolve and cope with those changes. And I've been very, very impressed, and I'm proud that we have such a group managing one of our facilities. So I put the motion to members.
Is that seconded? Councillor Hull?
I concur with Councillor Lescu. He's covered it pretty well. I don't know why any of this has got to be confidential. Like, we've got sporting club leases come to us regularly that are not confidential. Why do we perceive the arts as a confidential matter?
Well, Councillor, at the moment there's nothing to make anything confidential. So you're speaking to the motion on page 28. That's open. Then we'll get to the question of the confidential report, which is an appendix, although in our agenda the appendix appears before the main report. So be it.
Well, the appendix is part of the reading for elected members for this matter.
Well, all I'm doing is inviting you to address the proposition before the council.
Right. Okay. Well, anyway, we'll get to the appendix. Look, We actually often ask this group to actually deliver above and beyond. When we have Maker's Fair, there's some expectation that the gallery will be open, because it would be odd to have the Maker's Fair and not have the gallery open. That actually puts extra costs on the organisation. And the other thing is too that we have to keep pace with inflation. One of the things, I'm not sure whether I'm sort of wandering into the area of the appendix, but with wages, we make sure all of our staff here are kept up to speed with the enterprise agreement and they get their incremental pay rises as they go along. Now, unfortunately with groups like this, sometimes that sort of gets lost in the woods, and suddenly there is a realisation that we need to actually anticipate wage rises, and those people should get paid according to the very same award as what people would get paid here in this building. So that's part of the thinking with the increase. Now, the other thing is, I mentioned the other day when we actually approved the money for the Fringe Festival, that rarely do we actually have the arts coming and talking to us. And I think this is a good exercise, Mr. Mayor, to have them here tonight. I'm sure the Red House people think that this is in some way intimidating and questioning of them, but I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing they actually come here and address us, so there's a realisation and a better understanding amongst this group as to what they actually do. I really do think it's a good thing that this is happening tonight, because with the sporting clubs, they're here all the time, you know, to give their case about new lighting, whatever else. But in terms of the arts, this is really the only substantial group in our city, and here they are tonight, quite rightly putting a case in front of us that they need this agreement with an increase. Now, I think Jason's right that they have been serving us very well. I think we're getting very good money for their buck, for our buck. And I go to their meetings fairly regularly, and I just commend the motion to members.
Thank you. Just a couple of factual points. I appreciate your debating point that you say that maybe they're the only substantial arts group or whatever in the city, but there are others, such as Galleon Theatre Group, there's the Marion Art Group, which operates down south, so there are others, maybe not funded in the same way. And I should also make comment on when you say that the staff there should be on the same award as people here. People just need to be aware that that's a debatable point. That might be your opinion, but there are different awards that apply, that's all. Speaking against, question, Councillor Crossland.
A couple of questions. The first one is, as this seems to be a three-year contract, why is it not going out to tender? Why do we just give it to the same people when other contracts seem to get renegotiated and other people get a chance?
Might be to do with procurement policy. Ms. Dixon?
Through the chair, it's not strictly like it's not a commercial lease. It's a management agreement the council has with a not-for-profit arts group to run the gallery as part of the Marion Cultural Centre. So it was a management agreement that council entered into. We bring this three-year agreement up to council as it's due to be renewed for consideration by the council, the sitting council.
Back to Councillor Crossland.
So it could go out to other people to offer to run it. I just don't see where the equity and fairness is in just keep, because we've always done it, we'll keep doing it, isn't the answer I was looking for.
Through the chair, that is a decision for the council, today's council, to make. It's part of. It's been managed this way in terms of it's part of the operations for the Marion Cultural Centre. The subsidy is planned for and budgeted in the up-and-coming budget. And it's a management agreement where there's objectives set out between council and the Red House group. But acknowledge that may be something council chooses to review should it wish to do so.
So contractually we're not obliged to offer it again to this group?
Through the chair, no, you could choose to review the arrangement that you have for managing the gallery.
The second question I've heard that this
Council,
is...
I thought that was your three questions.
No, that was just clarifying. The second question I've got, sorry, Worship.
Well, is, be quick about it, thanks.
We've heard that this is significant in the South, it's significant state, it's significant international. Can you just detail all the other funding that we get from different bodies, different councils, the state government for such a gallery?
Through the chair, I think the reference to significance is that it's been a successful gallery run by a not-for-profit a community-based art group. It has been successful in attracting different exhibitions, such as a Blake Prize, which was, I think, about 7 years ago. So really those references are made in terms of the success of a community-based arts group. We haven't, to my knowledge, received any significant external partnership funding. There is reference, though, that the group, the Red House Group, do seek external partnership fund from local businesses, and that averages about $5,000 per annum.
So, Councillor Crossland, any contribution to the debate? I'm not saying you should, but...
Yeah, well, my contribution is I think that this should go to a tender process. We should look to see if we're getting value for money. I don't agree with just rolling over the same old management agreement without some thought and alternative options. I don't agree with just throwing funding at something without looking at alternative methods of funding. It's not something we do in the rest of our business. We look at co-contributions. I've read the report. The amount coming to the City of Marion, the amount of sales has dropped significantly. Anecdotal evidence is that the numbers are still the same. I don't see that. Usually in retail, there is a definite relationship between foot traffic and sales. That's what all the retail companies go by. The retail numbers in this case show that the footfall traffic must be dropping if you use that methodology. So I'm just concerned with throwing money into this place. I'd love to call the cultural centre a vibrant place. I don't get how a stairway and a ramp and lifts is a vibrant place. I don't even get the vibrancy when there's things on and not, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I will chip in there that it would be hard to imagine another provider getting the same extent of volunteer cooperation that we do get, which is certainly part of the success in terms of getting value. But that is a judgment for council to make.
I thought the volunteers were dropping, Your Worship.
Sure, but the volunteers are still a big contribution to the operations, as I understand it. The other thing where Councillor Crossland is making the point about success. One thing perhaps missing from the report is criteria for success compared to other exhibitions, for example. It's a bit hard. People might feel that it's successful, but it is a bit hard to see from the evidence how you define success. But anyway, that was speaking against the motion. Anyone speaking in favour? Anyone speaking in favour of the motion? Oh, you've got a procedural motion. Are you speaking in favour of the motion? Well, I'll take Councillor Telfer's motion. Councillor Telfer, I would probably characterise that as a point of order, and it's a good one. I had understood Councillor Bulescu to only be moving number one. See, I wasn't actually looking at the screen. Remember I said I thought Councillor Bulescu was moving the motion on page 28. So apologies to Councillor Hull as well. I might have misunderstood the point you were making. because I didn't think Councillor Valescu wanted to move that way. So it was just, as we see it, paragraph one, correct? So my understanding was correct. What you saw displayed was not what Councillor Valescu intended. So that satisfies the point of order. Now, Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I am speaking in favour of the motion. We do a lot for our sporting groups, and there's not a lot we do for arts, and let's face it, not everybody does play sport, and there is a lot of art type thing. I've been to many of the events there in the gallery, and I do believe it is vibrant, and the number of people that are there and the number of community members that really value this space. So I do fully support it.
Your Worship, just carrying on a little from Councillor Crossan's comments, but from a different angle, it is a little bit concerning to see that turnover has reduced in the last financial year. My question is whether we do have any marketing input, and if so, have we reviewed that in recent times? To me, it's a very exciting prospect. I think it's a delightful part of our make-up of services and offerings. There's not very much of it in our city. And there's got to be multifarious ways that we can look at marketing, particularly in a direct marketing sense. And an example of that would be into Flinders University. So that's my question, whether there's more that we can do to make it a happier situation, because it's very deserving of it.
Through the chair,
spotted Councillor Hull, Ms Dixon. Yep.
We can always look to improve marketing approaches, and staff will continue to work collaboratively with the Red House Group to support them in that area. Yep, and they continue to look at ways they can improve their marketing.
Right. Now, Councillor Telfer, was it?
I also had a question, although supportive, very supportive. My question is about, again, the use of paper media to advertise. Is there some opportunity to modernise the way information is sent out to elected members and the community at large?
Through the chair, yes, definitely, and I think that's an important thing to do in terms of targeting younger audiences who use, mobile devices and social media for advertising. So that would be part of looking at improving marketing.
No, you've had your opportunity to speak. Others? No, you're not. You've had your opportunity to speak. If there are no more, then it's Councillor Valescu to close the debate.
Look, I just want to once again say that what we're getting for the management agreement is outstanding. We did have another entity, a commercial entity, run the cultural centre soon after its inception, and unfortunately they went out of business and actually left the Red House Group thousands of dollars out of pocket. So you've got people that are dedicated to this. And the gallery is an opportunity for people to actually perform. It's a bit like the ovals is where you play, the gallery is where you feature, and that's why it's important in the area. It's not a commercial enterprise. There is some commerce. The shop sales have improved, slight dip last year. Artworks, I guess it's a different market post GFC, but it provides that opportunity for people's artwork to be showcased. And just as I support sports and other facilities throughout the council area, I think it is important that we support the variety of services such as the gallery and what Gallery M provides for our community.
All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? OK. carried by a majority. Thank you. Division is called by Councillor Kerry, was it? All those in favour, please stand. Those in favour is favour Councillors Pfeiffer, Kerry, Telfer, Hutchinson, Pryor, Hull, Westwood, Valescu and Gard. You can sit down if you like. Those against, Councillors Appleby and Crossland. So at least I remembered everyone's names. That's good. So I declare that's carried on the division. Now, there's one more matter. We have a confidential report in the agenda. Obviously, we've been able to deal with the substance of the matter without having to close the meeting. And you'll see that on the there is a draft motion to do so on the first page of the confidential report. But on the second page of the confidential report, there's a draft motion which would keep the appendix and the minutes. Well, it would be just the appendix you would want to refer to, not the minutes. To keep that confidential. Obviously, some people thought that was advisable. It's got award information, sales information, etc. So it's up to any member to move that if they wish. I should ask Ms. Dixon first, have the Red House or Gallery and people been asked about whether they wish that to be confidential? So they're not asking for it. If there's no motion at all, then it will simply be published as part of the papers of the meeting. So, last chance, any takers if they wanted to? No? Okay, we'll keep moving. That's fine. So we turn to page 33. The Community Events Fund. Thank you, by the way, supporters and members of the Red House Group and Gallery M. You're free to stay for the next 3 hours or so, but you're also welcome to leave any time you wish. It is the best free theatre in town, but I would understand if you have other commitments. So, page 33. Someone to move? Start off with a question. Now, this is a bit of a slippery slope, but let's try. Councillor Crossland.
Sorry, Worship. Just a bit perplexed with how this has moved. This funding was originally to sit with the events team. It was to supplement any events that needed funding, like toilets, or if they wanted to assist with providing a community group with toilets. It now seems to have transcended into another community grant type fund that sits with the community development team or community events rather than the original group that it sat with, and has a lot more criteria, form filling, and I just would wonder if the CEO could explain why it's been changed in that way.
Mr. Scull. Handball to Mr. Lyons.
Has been at this stage allocated to community events on the basis that they do administer a number of funds similarly to this. To be very honest, it doesn't really matter to me where it sits. I'd be just as happy for that to sit with communications as community events. I think regardless of where it sits, to pick up your second comment, it does need some eligibility criteria, and we would suggest that they be imposed regardless of where that is. We're dealing with public monies here and some basic eligibility requirements, and citing appropriate insurances, etc., would be important.
So just to follow on from Councillor Crossland's question, I mean, I completely endorse what is said about criteria, because if staff are going to be transmitting money to community, we need to have some accountability around that, and you need criteria. But why was it chosen to allocate the supervision of the fund where it is? There's an excellent member of staff who organises a lot of the civic events, I know. in the communications team, Pia Vogren. And so what was the thinking behind the placement of the supervision of the fund?
Through the chair, our communications group and our community development group had a conversation between the managers and ascertained that given that community development already administers a number of these typical grants and funding, that that would be the easiest place for it to happen. But as I've already said, it really could happen in just as easily within communications.
Right. So it was about familiarity with the process rather than subject matter, which does make sense. Okay. Councillor Crossland, did you want to take it any further?
No, thank you.
Someone to move? Councillor Westwood, wish to speak the motion?
I don't think I need to. Thank you very much.
Is that seconded? Seconded. Councillor Gard, did you wish to speak to it? Anyone speaking in opposition? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. On to page 38, Disability and Indigenous Traineeship. Who would like to move accordingly? Councillor Hull, would you like to speak?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. This is an opportunity for the Marion Council to step out and provide innovation in an area that is not contemporary, I guess. Normally we think about innovation with LED street lighting or smart cities, but this is actually innovation in terms of creating an opportunity with, in this case, disabled people, or I won't use the term Indigenous. I went to cultural awareness training by this council, and Mr. Lyons is nodding, and they prefer the word Aboriginal. And I think we should change that motion to Aboriginal, please.
Moving with the word Aboriginal instead of Indigenous.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, only in the last few days, an organisation that I don't really prescribe to, but it did happen, the LGA acknowledged this council for another initiative being the Gap Year project. And I think that we're actually so lucky to be even considering these things. Other councils probably haven't done the Gap Year. Other councils probably haven't done the Indigenous or Disability Traineeships. We are stepping out in front with this. And even in the face of rate capping, we can actually consider this. And I would actually like to stop at this point to ask the CEO a question. With the Oaklands Crossing project, the HR manager there did talk to me about this very issue. Is there any opportunities, because I'm asking questions because this might be my only chance, to actually have both the disabled person or the Aboriginal person engaged in that project, particularly when we've got so much money involved in it, as an example?
Mr. Scott?
All with a disability to work on their program. The HR person who's involved in that will be in touch with us to work in partnership on that and maybe even use it as part of this trial. So I've put it to him and he's very keen.
Just to continue, Mr. Mayor, what we are doing here unashamedly is creating an opportunity for disabled people and Aboriginal people. And I know now that some people might be thinking, well, why should they get an advantage? Well, for me, they've had a disadvantage all their life. This is an opportunity for at least some of them to actually get an advantage, get a foot in the door, maybe lead to full-time employment, training. And training is part of this, by the way. And, you know, allow local government. Local government employs a lot of people in South Australia. And some of these groups, like disabled people and Aboriginal people, don't really get a look in. This is purposely designing an opportunity for them to actually get more than a look in. And in terms of our RAP, our Reconciliation Action Plan, if we don't really do this tonight in terms of Aboriginal people, the RAP could end up being a hollow document, and we could end up being hollow men and women. So it's an opportunity to actually walk the talk. And as for disabled people, well, at the moment on the Gold Coast, there is opportunities being created for disabled people, and rightly so. And it's great to have it embedded right in the middle of the real event. This is actually embedding these people in the real event. I commend the motion.
Before we go to a seconder, I believe Councillor Byram might have a declaration of interest to make.
Yes, thank you, Worship, and I did forget about this at the beginning of the evening. I do feel that I have a conflict of interest here. My daughter does work for Maxima and works in the traineeship and apprenticeship area. She has gone into this role since we've been in council. She did have an arrangement with her firm that she would never deal with Marion Council, but I still feel that I should declare that conflict of interest and remove myself.
Thank you for that, and that'll be noted. Seconding the motion, Councillor Gard.
Thank you, Worship. I am in favour of the motion, both in respect to disability and Aboriginal people. In fact, every week of my life these days I give time to disabled people. And it is quite amazing the talent underlying in some of their personas and their disposition in so many cases doesn't get in the way of that, but in many cases it does. And I feel that this is an excellent opportunity for us to open up a channel. In so commending the motion, I would like to see definite measures for success produced, because I wouldn't like to see this as something that might blow in the breeze and be a one-off. I would like to see some real focus on what we're trying to achieve in this and whether we do in fact achieve it, and if not, why not. And indeed I'd like to see it develop even more purpose as the years go by. It's a bit of a shame that the previous attempt to have traineeships throughout the life of the long-term financial plan didn't happen. And sometimes I feel it's a matter of process, it's a matter of making these things happen. But in essence, I feel it's a very worthy cause and I do commend it.
Anyone speaking against?
Yes, but with a couple of questions first, please, Your Worship.
Yes, Councillor Crossley.
At the moment, it's just my interpretation of the report, but all but one of these traineeships are 3 years in length, and it notes in the report that we'll need the assistance of either a partner or another council to take on the trainee after a year at Marion. Has that been secured yet?
Mr. Scull?
Through Your Worship, no. We haven't commenced the recruitment nor the discussions with any potential partner, just for putting to council for a trial.
And it may be throwback from a previous report, but it says after the traineeship there's an automatic 1 year contract with the City of Marion. I'm guessing that's an error in the report.
It is. There'd be no automatic job. It depends obviously on the merits of the individual competing against others for any job that there is, so that's a mistake. Our apologies.
And the last question, are we doing this the right way round? Because if we commit to do a one-year traineeship and nobody picks up on doing the project after us, is that money not just wasted and the person doesn't get the benefit out of it?
That's a good point. The ideal is that we give them, they're great employees and there's availability, there's a job availability for them at the end and we keep them on. So the intention is to find a place for people who we've selected who are real quality and we can move on. But it could be that at the end that it doesn't work out, and as Councillor Gard says, if the KPIs, if you like, that put on this are not met, then we have no compunction, nor would we say it from the outset to keep anybody on.
I wonder if, with the permission of the mover and seconder, that ought to be a condition of this moving forward, that we do actually gain the full 3 years with other partners before we actually commence. Otherwise, you're spending $91,000 to achieve nothing, which isn't a good outcome for anybody.
Could I throw that question back to the CEO and get his perspective on that?
Some advice from Mr. Scull.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thanks, Councillor Hull. I think it would be very difficult to sell something that we haven't got to any potential partner. And I think the thinking that we had is that if we had somebody in that first year who's quality and we could that move them to other jobs at the end if the other partner was interested, then we would know what we've got. To do this before we've got the individuals involved is, I think, would be very difficult. But we can certainly try, but I think it would be unlikely that we could find an organisation who would take on people without even knowing who they are and what qualities they have.
So sounds like that would be an amendment if you wanted to pursue the idea, Councillor Crossland.
I'll just leave it as is, and I'll just speak against on the basis that we could be spending this money and it doesn't actually achieve the outcome we all want, and we really need to go in with partners for the three-year project.
Anyone else speaking in favour? Councillor Valescu?
Sure. We had the discussion before, and we sort of thought, okay, maybe don't have it for 10 years, and it was in the chamber. And then we were just considering having it for a shorter period, but the length of the traineeship. And I do remember 2 years was brought up. So why are we bringing this up without guaranteeing that these people will finish their traineeship? If we're going to offer a 2 or 3 year traineeship, we should have the money available to finish that, but also try to find partners in the meantime if we don't want to fund the whole thing. It just seems ridiculous to set it up for just 1 year. I think the concern was 4 people at 10 years. Now we've got 2 people for 1 year. I think it's the pendulum's, it's not going to achieve anything. So I want to know what's the minimum requirement for this to succeed.
So the distinction is between trialling the employment for 1 year and working towards one of the certificates that are mentioned in the report. Is that sort of the distinction here? Anyway, Mr. Scull, what do you think?
Through you, Worship, the discussion that we had in the last meeting when we talked about it was that there wasn't an appetite to put this on as a 10-year program, but let's trial it for 1 year. That's what we came out with to see if that's going to work. I do accept that if it's a three-year certificate program, that they won't have finished their certificate. And the idea with that was that we can actually find the work for them to continue or pass them on to a partner organisation having finished the first year of their certificate course. And we've launched their career, if you like, through that. But we're responding to elected members' discussion about, let's trial this for 1 year, see what happens at the end of the year, make a decision again, or before that, I should say.
Councillor Valescu, anything further? Well, no, I'm giving you the chance now.
Well I think we should be giving it extra time, even if we try to employ the person or send them to another area, but I think we need to have that up our sleeve, because otherwise, if we don't find any of those options, that person misses out. And it's not a good thing.
Yeah. Really speaking against the motion in a strict sense, but Mr. Scull?
If I can, through your worship, put some clarity on this, that Maxima run the traineeship, so they would actually manage the partner issue that we would have at the end. They would obviously love it that they would be in one employment for that whole period, but they would actually manage that on our behalf, and that's what they're contracted for.
That's how we can do 1 year.
Councillor Telfer.
I'm speaking in favour of the motion, and I'm speaking in favour of it in terms of the effect that it has on the people, the disability person and the Aboriginal person. I'm hearing comments from the floor about what it's going to do for Marion, but it's also what it does to these people's lives. to have mentors.
Anyone else speaking against? Councillor Appleby?
I'm going to speak against this motion, Your Worship. I think we're here to represent all people in the community. This is obviously targeted at disadvantaged people, and I think it should be couched in those terms rather than whether someone has a disability or if they're of a particular race. I think there are lots of people out there who are disadvantaged who may be Asian, they may be African, or they may be white, and I think that that should not preclude them from applying. So I'd like to move an amendment that it simply becomes a traineeship program for disadvantaged people.
Help us with the wording, Councillor Appleby, but instead
so it
of...
it refers to the one-year trial of a traineeship program for disadvantaged people.
Yep. And then the rest, including the two traineeships, would be as currently printed?
That's correct.
Right. So the... that'll just be...
If I could just keep speaking to that.
Yeah, please.
If an Indigenous applicant is the most disadvantaged, then they will get that. And if a disabled person is the most disadvantaged, they'll receive the traineeship. But I don't think we should preclude people. I think we should be inclusive.
Anyone else? Well, first we'll deal with the amendment. I'll just ask Ms. McKenzie about the best way to proceed with this. Right, is the amendment seconded? Councillor Kerry.
Point of order.
Just before you deal with the point of order, or just ask Councillor... Well, no, I have to deal with the point of order. Councillor Hull?
My point of order is the amendment's a direct opposite to the motion. We, moving and seconding the motion, unashamedly are targeting disabled and Aboriginal people. The motion... the amendment is not doing that.
I don't uphold the point of order. The intention is comparable in both cases, so I think it's just redefining the target group, and I don't think that actually cuts against the substance of the motion. So, Councillor Kerry, did you want to speak to the amendment? Then, Councillor Hutchinson, what have you got? Yeah, I'd rather deal with the amendment. All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, that's negatived. Now, other speakers who haven't yet spoken on the motion itself? Councillor Westwood.
You haven't specified for or against, but I'd say that this motion, in a way, really is a tweaking of our management of our society, basically. Unfortunately, arrangements up to now haven't worked perfectly, or anywhere near perfectly, for the targeted groups. And even though I generally agree that we should be as consistent and methodical as possible in our motions and our desires, I think the answer doesn't lie in the rewording as the amendment had suggested. So I think that this motion is worth pursuing, and that we really do need to, unfortunately, tweak some of our the methods that we address inequality or in society. Thanks.
Anyone else speaking against who hasn't yet spoken? Councillor Pryor.
I just have a question. The question goes along the lines of, if in 9 months' time we look at this program and say this is kicking goals, can we not bring another motion to continue these traineeships?
Well, there's a clear answer, yes. If there are no more speakers, Councillor Hull to close the debate. And sorry, Councillor, could I particularly ask you to address why people of different cultures of non-Aboriginal background aren't included in the motion?
I'll close the debate in the fashion I choose, Mr. Mayor, to be honest.
3 minutes, you go for it.
Thank you. I won't be distracted by that. I'm going to stick to the targeted group, unashamedly, disability and Aboriginal people. Now, you know, on the Gold Coast now, we could have the disadvantage games. If you're disadvantaged, you can compete, but they didn't. Why didn't they? Because they were targeting the disability. It's a nonsense to actually try and ignore that these people are disabled or they're Aboriginal and try and put them in a bucket along with disadvantaged people. Like if we're talking about homelessness, maybe we could talk about disadvantaged people because disabled, Aboriginal and Asian and whatever else are out there, sadly, in our community right now. So in this case, it's doing two things. It's probably the other thing we haven't talked about, the ability to attract grants. We haven't even talked about that because we're actually stepping forward. I see it as a possibility. It demonstrates that we're actually walking the talk with the Reconciliation Action Plan. Because this same debate happened, Mr. Mayor, when the motion was to fly the Aboriginal flag all those years ago that I took 3 attempts to get up. The same stuff. Why don't we fly the Chinese flag or the Vietnamese flag or the Croatian flag? The same thing happened back then. And I found that abhorrent. And the Aboriginal flag's flown ever since. Now, if we fly that flag out there and we don't back this up with substance and we don't walk the talk, it's very easy to fly a flag. But unless we actually create programs and opportunities and include those people in our day-to-day activities, flying the flag is a hollow gesture. All it is is a tokenism. We've got the opportunity tonight to do more than tokenism. When we actually built the Warrapringa Interpretive Centre, that was a step forward in going beyond tokenism. When we actually created the committee down there, we went another step. Now, with disability, we actually are going a long way past tokenism. With Touched by Olivia, the only inclusive play space in South Australia being constructed at the moment, and how that can link up with the outdoor pool, this is just another big tick in the box for the City of Marion with disability and Aboriginal affairs. Absolutely. And I can sense, and I commend Councillor Telfer for her contribution tonight and Councillor Westwood. I can tell the numbers are here tonight and I thank you for that.
All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against? It's carried. Division is called by Councillor Appleby. If you're in favour, please stand. Those in favour, Councillors Pfeiffer, Telfer, Hutchinson, Pryor, Hull, Westwood, Valescu and Gard. And you can sit down if you like. Those against are Councillors Kerry, Appleby and Crossland. I declare the motion passed. Right, on to page 41, the draft annual business plan. Councillor Telfer, just remind us how you wanted to proceed with that.
An avenue reserve pulled out, and then maybe you could deal with that last.
Are staff ready for that with an alternative motion? Yeah, I'll ask Mr. Mifsud to comment on that.
Thank you.
So, I'm happy to move that the motion and that we endorse that. And
Councillor, I'm just after clarification. So we've got an appendix, and we've got drafted motions that only refer to Appendix 1. Is that what you're saying, Mr. Mifsud? That in fact Appendix 2 is not part of the motion that's being moved? Just clarifying.
Yeah, thank you. Through the Chair. Yes, that's exactly right. So Appendix 2, the intent was for that to be provided to members and to the community as information only. Unfortunately, we haven't articulated it that way, but that's what I'm proposing, that be excluded from the resolution.
Well, there's another angle to this, that we're endorsing something for consultation. We're not making a decision about whether to spend money on it or not. So, Councillor Telfer, you might be all right. Happy to keep going?
Yes. I'm happy to move the recommendation that was in the in our papers.
Yep. Can we speak further?
There's been a lot of work done on this. We started well last year and put a lot of effort in January at our workshop. All of our work is in order. I'm very proud of the fact that we can look at 1.8% rate increase at the same time as looking at some major initiatives. We're going on with our business as usual, but we have some big infrastructure projects, and the LED lighting project, bringing that forward, is a big undertaking for council. I consider we're being smart enough as a smart city to call it. People define smart city in different ways, but I consider that this is something pretty smart, that we are changing our lights and we're getting our light infrastructure into order. I am very pleased that we are able to keep working and fulfilling our asset responsibilities throughout the city. Because there's not much point in having a pile of money and not having adequate assets. We came on to council wanting, as a council, to work on infrastructure. We have planned it for 3 years, and now the fourth year we need to be spending the money to implement a whole lot of things. So it's great to be able to support this plan.
Is that seconded, Councillor Crossland?
I'll second, and I'd like a question as well, please, Your Worship.
Please go ahead.
Happy to second it. I agree with everything Councillor Telfer says. We have been a council that's been delivering, and we are improving our general assets, which are used by the whole of community. My question just relates to the annual business plan. I don't know whether we did it 1 year or 2 years, where we also compared our rates with other councils by using an average cost of a household. I know other members have emailed about it. It seems to be not in this report, and I think it sort of is a bit more open with the community of where we are and makes it easier for them to understand, whereas fifth ranking and average rate can be look as if we're being misleading, and I just think let's just show it as it is.
Well, that's right. And in fact, I'd like to double up that question. The proposed 1.8% rate rise, I wonder how that compares with other councils. That's information we've had, but it may be too early. I don't know. Mr. Mifsud might help with that. And the second one, is it the rate in the dollar, or is it the... There was a measure that we did look at which was actually almost the efficiency of council.
Yeah, we looked at the rate in the dollar, but it was a bit difficult for the public to understand. So I think 1 year, and maybe Mr. Mifsud or Mr. Barnwell can confirm this, I thought we did a graph which actually showed the rates a house would pay at the same value across each different council area.
Yes, so Mr. Mifsud, thank you.
Thank you. Through the Chair, just if I can answer that second question first. Certainly the rate in the dollar, and I did send a communication out late this afternoon to all members, I'm not sure if you've had the opportunity to have a look through it, is only one component. So the rate in the dollar itself, and I absolutely agree, we need to make sure we're providing not only transparency but accuracy in the information we provide to our community. If we provide just the rate in the dollar, we're actually not doing that, because that's only one component of the equation. So I'd strongly recommend against that for that particular reason. But certainly if there's any other way that we can enhance how we maybe better articulate this information, then we're certainly very happy to accommodate that.
Just to finish off then, I think the reason we did the $450,000 was because there are some councils that add on an infrastructure charge, so the rate in the dollar is misleading, but we know how much a house in Onkapringa, say, pays for $450,000, because it's the rate in the dollar plus an infrastructure charge, so we can pretty much be fairly certain what they pay.
Right, I see what Councillor Crossan's driving at. Pick a figure of, I don't know, even $500,000, for example, and picking some comparable, our neighbouring, typically as we do, our neighbouring councils and some comparable councils like Tea Tree Gully, and saying what would be the rate plus any fees, because some councils put on that fee, a poll tax, effectively. So that would be a useful comparison for our ratepayers to see, I think. Good. Now, the thing is, can we include that through discussion, or does that need to be in the motion as a procedural point?
Through the Chair, we can certainly include that in our final documentation as part of doing that. I don't believe it needs to be as part of the resolution. The other thing I would suggest to members is that if we just pick a figure, once again, we're not going to be comparing apples with apples. So if I give you a basic example, a 600 square metre block in Hallett Cove is not going to be worth the same value as a 600 square metre block in Holfast Bay, for example. So you won't be comparing apples with apples. Maybe the best way to do it is to look at what is the average value in comparable councils, because then you'll truly be comparing apples with apples.
No, I think is what elected members were looking at, is if I bought a $500,000 house in Marion or $500,000 house in Tea Tree Gully, which are similar in size, similar services, how much rates would I pay?
And through the Chair, something like that, where you're talking about similar demographics and a similar council size, will give you some reasonable comparison, but it's not going to be precise. But we can certainly do that if that's something that members are looking for.
The precision in the dollars, it's just a matter that there might be different explanations about why there are variations.
Yep. And we can, through the Chair, we can certainly provide some clarity around why the variations exist, absolutely.
I thought there was some measure we did, and I wish I could remember it, but there was some measure we looked at a year or two ago, which is something like expenditure per household or something like that. It was, Mr. Barnwell might be able to remember.
It was a couple of years ago. We did a comparison about cost per household, which your rates cost per household, so we could look at that again. I think probably the best thing may be for, not sure you want it in a consultation doc, to actually have it ready for the final doc, gives council an opportunity to look at the comparatives that we're actually putting together.
Well, I actually think it's important for the consultation process, because it's very hard for a member of the public just to look at a percentage or something and know what it means. Is that good or bad relative to what? Anyway, I'll...
I assume that the council would want to see that before it actually goes into the consultation doc. To be happy with yourself.
Should the motion say subject to additional... subject to additional comparative data being provided or something like that, leave it open, and then it can be, an email can be sent around to councillors.
Yeah. Thank you.
So if I must ask, Councillor Telfer, would you be happy as the mover for something like that to be included along the lines subject to additional comparative data being provided? So that's in relation to paragraph 1. No one objecting to that formally, I presume? Okay, let's move. It's been moved and seconded. Is someone speaking against or against some part of what's being proposed?
Question. Just got a question, Your Worship. Further under discussion about the comparisons, I'll just wait till everyone's listening.
Order.
Could we actually identify the different types of houses? Because that's the thing, like, for $500,000, what you get in other places, there's less houses under of a certain level.
Are you talking about sort of brick, straw and sticks, or
just in regard to, you know, closer to the city, you'll find generally the houses are going to be more expensive, and you're not, you know, like a family home, you could probably get, you know, quite a decent family home in the southern parts of the area in particular. So, you know, really, if you're going to say a $500,000 figure, you also got to look at how many houses fall into that bracket, you know, do more houses. So, you know, like, what's the average house that you get in the city of Marin? If it's 550,000, this is what you generally get. How many houses are there in the comparative councils at that price? You know,
this exercise being almost never ending.
But the reason I'm asking is just because it is, there's differences.
So the process that's being suggested, if we pass this motion, is that the Mr. Barnwell, Mr. Mifsud, and their team will come up with some comparative figures. They may be ones you like, maybe ones you don't like, but that'll be circulated among elected members for informal feedback, and if there's a consensus or a majority view, then it can be included as the comparative data in what's going out for consultation. I mean, I think to an extent, and this is what Mr. Mifsud was alluding to earlier, people in the community, we have to rely that they would understand that a house in Hackham West is different to a house in North Adelaide. But it's impossible to define all of the permutations that might apply to a $500,000 house. What we do know is the scientific data of what rates you would pay in a council area. Now, some people may find that useful, some people may not find it useful.
Could we also include the average rate for each as well as those comparisons? So if there was, for example, $500,000 property, this is the rates in each of these areas, and the average rate in that council area is so-and-so, so-and-so, then that would indicate that there are more valuable or less valuable properties in that area, if the average rate
that,
is different.
That is an objective way of providing a bit of context,
yep.
And that makes sense. Does that make sense to Mr. Mifsud, Mr. Barnwell? So it may be that, you know, two or three options or are provided to members. All right.
Sorry, can I just in relation to the question you asked around the comparative council rates for the councils, a lot of the councils are, like ourselves, coming to that consultation process. We don't have definitive figures, but I do have some information from my peers.
Yes, please.
If you're interested in. I think ourselves, City of Marion, Charles Stewart, are on 1.8%, looking at 1.8%. Uncle Bring is looking at 1.85, and everybody else is 2.3 and above. So.
And of Charles Sturt and Uncle Bringer, I know Uncle Bringer applies a fee on top.
They have a
on
fee
top.
As well. Yeah.
Charles Sturt?
Charles Sturt, no.
No.
Like
all right. Useful information. If there are no further questions, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? It's carried by a majority. Thank you. So let's move on to page 76, Woodin Primary School car park. Councillor Byram, to move.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. And I would like to make a slight amendment to what's worded on the screen there. Number one.
What about concreting the reserve across the road, I hope?
No. Not touching that, Your Worship. Number one stays the same, notes the report. Number two continues to work collaboratively with the school and local MP David Spears, and in brackets there we could put as per his election commitment.
What was that?
his election commitment is to provide a kiss and go zone for this school. Okay. The rest of it to stay the same.
Please speak while that's being written up. Thanks.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, this one has been going on for a while, and I know that some people are probably feeling that why are we still continuing with this? We do have a situation where we have a lot of residents that are affected badly in this particular area and have been saying it's about time council did something about it. So we do need to be aware of what's going on, and particularly with a promise made by an MP, we need to be involved in what is being discussed and is going on there. The other things there is it is a council responsibility to review our parking controls on Edward Beck Drive, and the school has been asking us to do that, so that is definitely our area of responsibility. Last week was at one of the schools that has a Way to Go program, and they're great in looking at initiatives to improve that transport to school. The school has talked to us about some of the problems with some of the paths in the area and some of the crossovers in some of the streets, which is definitely a council responsibility, so we need to be involved in those discussions. So that is my recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, certainly it's been a long-standing problem in the area, and the school is very busy. Councillor moved, seconded. Councillor Crossland? No. Who would like to second the motion, if anyone? Councillor Valescu? Speaking?
I'll trust the judgments of the local councillors, and yeah, it's good to hear that Minister Spears has actually offered a solution, a potential solution for the problem.
Lock it in. Anyone speaking against? Councillor Crossland?
No, I'd just like to consider moving an amendment, but I'm not sure if it's the opposite. Because the amendment would be to write to the Education and Planning Minister and to ask them to halt the proposed development of the Wood End Primary School site unless it includes a solution to the current and potential increase in the traffic issues being experienced by residents.
Right. Well, of course, the context there is there's a state government grant of $5 million going to the school.
To make it bigger and to build out the area where we proposed the kiss and go and where David Spears proposed to spend the money on the kiss and go. So unless he knocks down some houses of residents to build the kiss and go, I don't see how he's going to be able to.
Can I just hear your suggestion again, please?
So my suggestion would be point two, to change point two to rights to the Education and Planning Minister and ask them to halt the proposed development of the Wood End Primary School site unless it includes a solution to the current and potential increase to the traffic issues being experienced by residents.
I think you can do that as an additional point.
And point three would be the same.
Well, what I'm suggesting to you is, well, of course, you can write over what's currently in paragraph two, but I'm just saying an option would be as an additional point. That
yeah, Your Worship, look, we spent 21,000 and nearly 500 hours on this one school. We've got every school in our council area experiencing similar issues that are actually working collaboratively, not against council. This school is noticeable by its absence in this meeting. They are now working against us by increasing numbers at the school and building out on the proposed kiss and go.
Councillor, I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I think if you take out the current paragraph 2, then it becomes a direct contradiction, you see. I think if council is doing what's in paragraph 2, and you also want to say to the government, don't build this building, which makes it difficult, that would be consistent. But if you're taking out paragraph 2, then my suggestion would be to simply argue against the motion so that paragraph 2 is not adopted by council, and then I would come back to you with your motion if indeed the current one failed.
I'm happy with that because I definitely don't want most of what's in point 2. Yes.
To waste more staff time.
Let's just keep it as opposition to the motion, and I invite you to speak further if you wish.
No, I think I've made my point. Thank you, Your Worship.
Thank you. Anyone else in favour of the motion? Then the mover to speak in closing the debate. Councillor Byron.
Thank you, Your Worship. And in response to a couple of those comments, the school, no, they aren't here tonight, but they were here with a deputation the last time we discussed this. I don't believe that didn't ask that question if they had to come each time, but they did do a deputation at the last time and we heard their reason as to why they wanted this discussed. So I don't believe they had to do a second deputation tonight. The other thing is point two actually has got quite a bit of council's responsibility in there, so I, particularly in point B and C, is very much a lot of council responsibility. To say that that's not our responsibility I don't understand. But, it is something. It has been going on for a while. We do know that there was extra complications as to why that went on with a Member of Parliament. That wasn't of our doing. So we've had to try and amend bridges and just help along the way with this one. So I do recommend this motion.
All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, please raise your hand. The motion is defeated. The division is called by Councillor Gard, was it? Councillor Westwood. Oh, there, sorry. That mellifluous voice I should know anyway. Right, all those in favour, please stand in your place. Councillors Telfer, Hull, Westwood, Byram and Velescu. Just remain standing for a sec, please. Those against, Councillors Pfeiffer, Kerry, Pryor, Appleby, Gard and Crossland. The motion is defeated. I invite Councillor Crossland, please sit down, Councillor Crossland to move an alternative motion if he wishes.
Thank you, Your Worship, and I have written it down, so we'll give it to staff. So point one is the same, which is notice the report. Point two is rights to the Education and Planning Minister to halt the proposed development of the Wood End Primary School site unless it includes a solution to the current and potential increase to the traffic issues being experienced by residents. Point three is as printed, but I'm happy to add on the end of that
Moving for the B and C.
Receives a further report should a feasible kiss and go option be identified by the state government.
While that's being typed up, you're free to speak to that, Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. I've spent many years in local government looking at problems and solving problems. I've never come across a problem where you don't actually target the problem. You try and make the problem work. That never really leads to a great outcome. The problem in this street or those streets is that they built a school in an inappropriate location. It's not even a Department of Education owned site. That's created a huge problem for residents in that area. Now, in response to the traffic issues, the school are now trying to increase the numbers of school children and school drop-offs in that area. I cannot fathom how that is going to lead to less traffic in those streets. It's going to create a much worse problem for residents, and I think the Education Minister or the Planning Minister, even David Spears, need to take a good re-look at the location and what they're proposed there. There's a school not very far away, Shidoe Primary School, in a great location, plenty of room. If that was turned into a STEM school, I'm sure they would increase their numbers back to where they're supposed to be, and that would become the school of choice. There's no logic to developing Wood End.
Is that seconded? Councillor Gard, do you wish to speak?
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I've got to say, I've not been very happy with the processes developed by the school right the way along with this, and I thought it was rather a clash in their, on their part with us to go ahead with the $5 million project, negate a very good option for Kiss and Go, and then say, right, now over to you to solve the problem. To do that without consultation, I actually think it's bordering on obnoxious, quite frankly, and I'm quite happy to put that on record. And the other side of the equation is that I did mention when they had a representative here one evening the option of other forms of transport, such as a school bus, which I think would work more than adequately in that very localised area where most of the kids would come from that side of the Lonsdale Road. I think it would work very well. It's very good socially as well. But that was wiped aside as too hard, and so I just think that the school is busy creating more problems and rather than helping us to help them solve the major problem. And until they can do better, then I'm, from my posture point of view, am of folded arms.
Anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Westwood.
Just to the speakers, I presume when we're talking about the school, we mean the education department, not necessarily the local board, or whatever it's called. Would that be correct of the speakers? May I ask the speakers to clarify that, please?
Well, no, you can just take their contributions as they stated them. You're welcome to speak if you wish to interpret that or sheet the blame if there is any back to the government. But what they've said is what they've said. Councillor Byrne.
Thank you. Yes, I was very confused about the statement, no consultation by the school. The school has done consultation the whole way through with council and has tried to work with council, so I do not understand that particular comment. I understand the sentiment of paragraph 2, and I have basically no issue with that, but I do have issue with the fact of that we have not included in our responsibilities of reviewing parking controls along there and also looking at the Way to Go program initiatives. So I would like to ask if the mover and seconder would include those.
Councillor Crossland.
No, they've been covered in many meetings over the years, so I think we've already done those.
Back to you, Councillor Byrne.
Can I then ask the staff a question as to how that affects things, Mr. Lyons, if you could talk to those points that we were asked to action from the school?
Councillor, through the chair, if I looked at 2A, B and C, A was to look at alternative Kiss and Go locations. It's fair that we've looked at one on the site in conjunction with the school. I've been to 2 meetings with the school and my staff have been to 2 more there. To be fair, the direction of the school is to extend their existing premises and it's very unlikely that they'll be able to facilitate that. They don't want to extend on their site. There's a couple of other options which are available to us, but to be honest, they're not favourable. One is to move out onto the reserve. One would be to connect Hughes Court with Barton and try and have some parking there. One would be on Young Road itself, but that's a busy distributor road. It's got 500 odd cars going down at a peak hour. That's a car every 7 seconds or something like that. So to be fair, 2A was going to be difficult. 2B is something that can happen regardless of a recommendation. This is simply signage locally that could be raised from the school. We dipped to ourselves. 2C is something that I might suggest we would do regardless. We had held off on that because our direction was to look for a kiss and go. We haven't been successful in that, and I can't see an obvious choice for that. And 2C, we would probably look at Edward Beck and just see if we could improve the operation of that street. I don't think that's going to take a lot of time or a lot of cost and would be a wise thing to do.
Right. Councillor Byrne, anything further?
Just might point out that the controls on Edward Beck Drive, what has happened over time is that the school themselves has had to blank out with tape a lot of our parking control signs, and so we really do need to review those.
So Mr. Lyons is saying that that's part of routine operations anyway. So any further speakers? Then anything? Councillor, are you speaking in favour of the motion? Any further speakers in favour of the motion? No. Well, it's to Councillor Lescu to close the debate. Sorry, to Councillor Crossland to close the debate, if wish.
I think it's all been said. I think we've given the school more than enough time and staff time, and we spent enough money on it. The option that was available to them, they discounted themselves in November when they decided to develop on that ground.
All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand. All those against, it's carried.